morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can come into the house of the Lord on this day and give thanks and praise to God for all that he has done for us. As we come this morning, just a reminder of a couple of the announcements that were on the screen. Bible study on the Gospel of John, the first 10 chapters of the Gospel of John, will begin this Wednesday evening, and we'll be meeting here at the church at 7 p.m. So we look forward to having folks present for that. And you saw on the screen as well, the government of Canada has partnered with the Canadian Red Cross to provide hurricane relief to those who were devastated by Hurricane Fiona when it hit the Atlantic provinces a couple of weeks ago. And you are encouraged to make donations to that cause. You can do that either directly to the Canadian Red Cross, that's always fine, but you can also include that donation in your offering envelopes or electronic transfer, and we'll ensure that that money gets forwarded to the Canadian Red Cross in a timely manner, because gifts given between now and the 23rd of October will be matched by the federal government, so your donation goes a little bit further as a result of that. And finally, the flower that is on the communion table this morning is placed for the birth of Airy, who is the grandson of our congregational bookkeeper, Darlene Pichet. And Airy was born on September the 16th, so we're pleased to welcome a new member of the Pichet family. As we come this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we, as followers of Jesus, seek to walk in his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the house of our Lord and say together the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name.
Make known his deeds among the
Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory. Sing to him. Oh, I read your part too. That's what happened there. Sorry. Glory to his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of the covenant, it is our duty and delight to gather in your presence and sing praise to your holy name. Each new dawn proclaims your mighty acts of creation, in which you looked into the darkness and called forth light. We thank you for this day and for this new day's dawning, for the beauty of the earth, sea, and sky, and for the abundance of good things that your earth brings forth. Give us eyes to see your provision all around us and hearts of thankfulness and praise. May all we do be a fitting response to all that we have received. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our first hymn this morning will appear before you on the screens. From all that dwell below the skies, the hymn will appear before you.
Thank you.
when we gather to praise God, we remember that we are people who have preferred our own wills instead of the will of the divine. Accepting God's power to recreate us as new persons in Christ, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. O God, gladly we live and move and have our being in you. Yet always in the midst of this creation glory, we see sin's shadow and feel death's darkness. Around us in the earth, sea, and sky, the abuse of matter. Beside us in the broken, the hungry, and the poor, the betrayal of one another. And often, deep within us, a striving against your spirit. O Trinity of love, forgive us that we may forgive one another. Heal us that we may be people of healing. And renew us that we may be makers of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, the Lord has promised to free us from all those things that enslave us. And to prevent us, The Lord has promised to free us from all those things that enslave us and prevent us from worshiping our God. Rejoice and give thanks. In Jesus Christ you have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Today we are presenting the McRae Bursary. It's something we do every Thanksgiving Sunday. And we thought we might, in children's time, tag on or include a little presentation that would honor and showcase all of our young people who are moved on and in post-secondary studies. We have quite a few who've participated in youth throughout and are now moved on, and so we've put together a little slideshow to showcase and honor these young people. And of course, in putting together a slideshow, I mean Alex put together a slideshow. Thank you, Alex, for doing this. I would call mine a rudimentary slideshow if it was being shown up here. But if you wouldn't mind just paying attention, hopefully you can see what our young people are doing. And they're all doing so very well, and we'll let the pictures tell the story.
I see.
So we definitely want to stay connected with these young people all the time. And first step is knowing what they're doing and where they are and being able to have a conversation about how that is going when we see them on days like today and throughout the year. So, and a prop to Bella Guanyama, who chose the music selection for that, which I thought was really awesome. So I think Bella's tuning in. So thank you, Bella. So at this time, I would like to call Jennifer and John Adams forward to make the presentation of the McCrae Bursary, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm happy today to present the McCrae Scholarship to our granddaughter, Deanna. She's the daughter of our Laurel Adams and Mark Gill, and stepdaughter to Sylvain Martin. The three McCrae daughters of Clifford and Annie were unable to come today, regretfully. Clifford and Annie, who are pictured on the screen behind us, are actually Deanna's great-great-great uncle and aunt. They were both educators, first in Avonmore and then in Cornwall. And it's kind of neat that Deanna has decided to pursue education at the University of Nipissing and become an educator. Clifford and Annie were both faithful members of St. John's congregation. They were both avid visitors of the shut-in and elderly. Clifford was a member of Session and began the cassette ministry here in St. John's long before YouTube and live streaming of our services. Deanna is a deserving recipient of this award. She's been an active member of our congregation, participating in Sunday worship, attending church school and youth groups. She went to Gracefield and also to the Triennium with some other young people from St. John's with Debbie and Dan Plant. And as we saw on the slideshow, she participated in pageants with all of the other young kids. She's read scripture readings for service as well, and by doing this, she has developed her faith. On behalf of the Kirk Session and the congregation, we wish her well in her future endeavors and look forward to seeing her back at St. John's, probably Christmas, maybe. Congratulations, Deanna, and may God be with you and bless you in your studies. There you go. And I'll present the...
Thank you, Trish and John and Jennifer, and congratulations, Deanna. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Generous God, as the sower prepares the earth to receive the seed, so now prepare our hearts to receive your word, that we may grow in faithfulness. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hi, everyone. It's nice to see you all here today. This is my first scripture reading, so I'm a little nervous. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to you, to the Lord your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make his response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us hardly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice, and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs of wonders. And he brought us into the place, this place, and gave us this land, of land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, and bow down before the Lord your God. And then together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house.
Hi, everyone. So this is the Old Testament, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Good morning. New Testament, Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worth of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them and the God of peace will be with you.
So this is New Testament, John 6:25-35. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word to us. We continue by singing the hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. The words will appear before you on the screen, or it can be found in the Book of Praise at number 321. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Later this afternoon, or perhaps tomorrow, many of us are going to gather with our families and our friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. This great celebration will be a feast, because it always is. Foods that we only eat at this particular time of year. In the home where I grew up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the menu was always the same. Well, minor variations for seasonal changes. But it had its own distinct menu, these festivities and celebrations that we held in our household. The meal always began with a little glass of tomato juice. Anybody else? Yeah, tomato juice? Chuck's smiling. We never drank tomato juice at any other time of the year. But at Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, tomato juice. And then, of course, turkey with all the trimming. Or I know Jennifer's got her ham in the oven already, so maybe ham, but often turkey. Turkey, all the trimmings, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and that little bag of stuff that comes in the turkey, chopped up and put into the gravy. And vegetables. And probably for Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie and whipped cream, right? I'm willing to bet 90% of our households, same menu, right? Not a lot of variation there. I know many will have that same celebration. And always with that great celebration and that wonderful feast comes an open table. Family gathered together to celebrate. Special friends invited into our homes to be part of our gathering together. And when people gather, there is conversation. And there are stories. And sometimes even music and singing, if you happen to belong to a musical family. And likewise, this is the picture that is painted for us this morning in our reading from Psalm 100, from that we heard read and shared in the reading, as it was our responsive reading. It is the picture of the great feast of Thanksgiving. It says that right at the top of your page in the Bible. If you flip into your Bible again, you don't have to trust me on it. I checked. But right over the, in between Psalm 100, the title of the psalm, and then the psalm's verses, there is this little superscription. They appear often in the psalms, but this morning's says, a psalm of thanksgiving. And what is imagined in the psalm, Psalm 100, is this great feast that is part of the thanksgiving offering and the requirements which are laid out in Leviticus chapter 7. We didn't read all the detail of Leviticus chapter 7. But in Leviticus chapter 7, it says that the sacrifice of well-being or thanksgiving is made up of three different grain offerings and a sacrifice of an animal. But most importantly of all, in all of those instructions that we receive about this sacrifice of thanksgiving, which we are being invited to in Psalm 100, the most important part of the instruction about this offering is that all has been prepared and brought to the temple, and it must be eaten on the same day. I don't know about you all. Usually, the turkey's too big. Right? Leaving the house this morning, Colleen was worrying about the turkey yesterday, and I saw bits of it in a crock pot, and I went, oh, you cut it down. She said, no, I'm roasting it all, but it's a big turkey. It's not going to get all eaten today. Indeed, many of us look forward to the leftovers afterwards, don't we? But here in this passage that talks about the Thanksgiving offering, the one thing that it notes is the flesh of your Thanksgiving sacrifice of well-being shall be eaten on the day that it has been offered, and you shall not leave any of it until the next day. If you did that alone, if you brought that offering to the altar of the Lord by yourself, you would never be able to eat it all. So the worshiper here does not come by themselves. They do not give thanks alone, but they come communally. They come with the family and the friends. They come in the attitude of an open table to gather together and share the feast for all that God has given to God's people. Turning back to Psalm 100, we do not recognize it here because English is a language that sometimes flattens out the detail. But if we were reading Psalm 100 in Hebrew, Yop, I think, is the only person in the congregation who can do that. But if we were reading it in Hebrew, what you would discover is that all of the verbs that are found in Psalm 100 have that distinctive ending that says that they are plural verbs. They are you, not an individual, but you, the whole gathered people together. You, everyone to whom this might possibly be addressed, this command is for you. So when we read through Psalm 100 and it says, come, make a joyful noise, worship the Lord, it's not just an individual, but it's us together. All of you, make a joyful noise. All of you, come. All of you, worship. All of you know that the Lord is God. All of you know that He has made us. And we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The author of the psalm is reminding the children of God that the stories of Scripture that they have learned from their youth continue to be true, and they draw them together not just to God, but to one another as well. It is their shared heritage and their shared faith. And it's all built on those stories of God's love and God's faithfulness. And it reminds us of God's promise and God's provision. Everything that we have, everything that sustains us is a gift from God. Contrary to what we might be tempted to believe, what sometimes the world out there wants us to believe, it is nothing that we have acquired for ourselves or by ourselves. That's why we can share it so openly with other people, why the open table exists. We can be abundant in our blessing of others because we know that we have received it all from God's generous hand. What we have and what we share is not ours. It is a gift from God. And that acknowledgement is the root of our faith. The reading from Deuteronomy this morning, which Jacob did such an excellent job of reading. Sorry, Jacob, it was the longest of the readings. I'm sorry for that. But I think he grew into it. So maybe it's a good thing that you had the long one. The nerves went away about halfway through, you could tell. But in that reading that Jacob read for us this morning from Deuteronomy, there is this instruction to the children of God as to how they are going to celebrate God's faithfulness when they have been given the land that God had promised to their ancestors. The promised land was this culmination of God's great covenant with Abraham and Sarah and all of their subsequent generations that had followed them. Old and barren, Abraham and Sarah felt that they were as good as dead, that nothing would come forth from their name, that they would be lost into the sands of history. But they are chosen by God, to be an example of the goodness and the trustworthiness of the Lord. And God promises to Abraham and Sarah that they will indeed have offspring, children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren down through generations and generations, and that they will outnumber the stars that shine in the sky above and the grains of the sea, the grains of the sand that form upon the seashore. And God promises that they will have a land that is rich and fertile, a land that flows with milk and honey, if they will do one thing, follow the Lord. For generations, those words were nothing but a promise, those promises that God made to Abraham and Sarah. But in Deuteronomy chapter 26, the people have finally arrived. They now have a land. Generations and generations and generations after Abraham and Sarah had died and gone on to heaven, the people finally claim that promise, their inheritance of faith. And only one question is left. It is the key question in that reading that we heard from Deuteronomy chapter 26. God has been faithful to God's promises to the people. Will the descendants of Abraham now be faithful to God? It would be easy for the people to have forgotten God, wouldn't it? Because they've arrived. They're in the promised land. There's nothing else to look forward to. They have realized what they have been working for all these years, and indeed they have struggled throughout all these years to keep that memory before them. But now that they have arrived in the promised land where everything is good, where all of the hardship has ended, it would be easy to lose sight of God. But in this act of worship that is described in that reading from Deuteronomy, Israel remembers. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. That's Abraham. Abraham, the wandering Aramean, and the story of his journey and the journey of his descendants all the way down through the history of their enslavement in Egypt and the Exodus wandering down to the very day in which Jacob speaks the words. When they have lived in the land and experienced its goodness, now they bring their offering to the Lord. And they lay it before the altar of their God. And they tell the story once more. The story of how they have arrived in that place. The story of the promise that was made to Abraham and Sarah, who were old and barren and as good as dead, but remain alive in the memories of their people. Stories are important. Stories are the touchstones to our past. As we heard just this morning, the story of the McCrays and their devotion to this church and to the propagation and the furtherance of the Christian faith continues with us as we award the McCray Scholarship each year. Each year, we are reminded of the story of their faithfulness, and the story not just of their faithfulness, but the faithfulness of all the generations who have been in this place, who have gone before us, and who worshiped God here, praised His holy name, taught us the faith as they shared their stories. As we come this morning today and we gather around table with family and with friends, what is the story that you have been invited to tell? There will be lots of different stories. There will be catching up of what happened in a science lab and what the hardest thing that I learned in history this year was. Or, man, I really hate that poem. 50 pages is not a poem. There's a door prize for anybody who can identify the 50-page poem as we're leaving this morning. As I have a 50-page poem in mind. When I was in English class in university, I said, 50 pages is not a poem. I'm not even sure it rhymed. But we will tell those stories. We will tell stories of what we have experienced. But as we do that, let us also remember to connect the stories of our daily lives into the stories of our faith. Because that is the example that Jacob sets for us in that story about the wandering Aramean that was his ancestor. He took the experiences of his people and the experience of their very day, of the blessings that God had given them as from the fruit of the land that God had prepared. And he wove it into the story of the faith of the people of God. Let us too then look this day for the opportunities to weave together the stories of blessing into the everyday, the mundane, that we might never forget that God is no further away from us than any simple act that we enjoy each day. Let us then remember the goodness of God and celebrate everything with which we have been blessed, and know that God continues to bless us beyond our imagining. Thanks be to God for his blessings this day and every day. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Generous God, each moment is a gift from you. You give us all that we have. In gratitude, we now offer all that we have, our time, our talents, and our tithes. May they bless others as we have been blessed. And may we never forget to give thanks for all of the blessings that we have received. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple of brief announcements that I forgot at the beginning. I'm going to ask Cynthia just to nod if I'm right here. Cynthia, is the coffee on at the back? Yes, it is. I keep forgetting to remind ourselves we're kind of getting back into the practices of what church used to be. Remember way back when? And there is coffee at the back this morning. So please do plan to stay for a time of fellowship following worship and to enjoy a cup of coffee and to touch base with some of our young people who are home from school this year and other people that you may not have seen in the last little while. And we're looking for talented people. We're looking for, in particular, people who will sing during the Christmas season. Minna has gratefully offered to help the choir prepare some anthems for the Christmas Advent and Christmas season, and I was looking for a couple of pieces this week that we might possibly sing, and there's lots of music around this building that we could sing. What we really need is a few more voices than the stalwart few. Daniel's band behind me here this morning. So if you have the skill of singing, or if you've ever thought, gee, you know, it looks kind of fun being in the choir, but I don't know that I want to make that sort of commitment. We're asking you for a couple of months to make a little extra time in your weekly schedule, so that gets us through November, December, for some special music during the Christmas season. So just a float out there, but there are a couple of really nice pieces that would be fun to do, but we're a little light on the voices, so just a little appeal. If you could help us out in that regard, we'd be most grateful. As we come in prayer once more, our prayers of the people today are in the form of a litany with some responses, so you'll want to keep one eye closed and one eye on the screen. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God joyfully.
Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
For the good of the world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for things seen and unseen splendors.
Thank you, God,
for human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until dying. Thank you, God, for work to do and the strength to do it, for the comradeship of labor, for exchanges of good humor and encouragement. Thank you, God, for marriage, for the mystery and the joy of flesh made one, for mutual forgiveness and burdens shared, for secrets kept in love. Thank you, God. For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures. Thank you, God. For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies. Thank you, God. For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, for their search for freedom, for their solemn vows. Thank you, God. For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest in leisure, and for time made precious by its passing. Thank you, God. For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for persevering, for preserving us in temptation and danger. Thank you, God. For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in our Lord, we praise you, God. For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship, we praise you, God. Above all, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in him, and for the joy of serving him, we thank you and praise you, eternal God, for all your goodness to us. Give thanks to the Lord who is good. God's love is everlasting. Amen. And let us continue now in prayer, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to say together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 802 in the Book of Praise, For the Fruits of All Creation. The words to this hymn will appear before you on the screen.
Thank you.
now. May our great God, the source of all good things, shower you with his abundant blessing, so that your hearts overflow with endless gratitude. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all, this day and forevermore. Amen.